Good evening. I am intrigued by editing. An editor carefully studies a writer's work and makes changes. Editors look for grammar and punctuation errors, wordiness, unclear meaning, and so on. Sometimes editors delete sentences or even entire passages that seem to clutter up the writing. I am not a professional editor and never will be, but I have preacher friends who occasionally send me a piece of writing and ask for my suggested changes. And I'm always happy to help. Editing is a good thing unless the book is the original text of the Bible. How do we feel when someone deletes Scripture? In 1820, Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, finished his own version of the Gospels. Using a sharp blade, the former president cut out the teachings and activities of Jesus that he believed in. He then pasted the lifted verses into his little book of 84 pages and bound it with red leather. It has recently been restored by the Smithsonian, and tourists can look at it. It has English and French, Greek and Latin in four columns. Jefferson titled it The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth. The Jefferson Bible, as it is called, includes no accounts of Christ's miracles and therefore no resurrection. His good news ends with Jesus in the tomb. We're not surprised to learn that Jefferson's opponents in the 1800 election called him a howling atheist. In 2020, we can see that the editing of Scripture carries on. For example, LGBTQ activists posing as Christians dismiss Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 1. He says there that lesbianism and homosexual acts are dishonorable, unnatural, shameful, wrong, and deserving of divine punishment. But according to the Reformation Project at reformationproject.com, Paul was not talking about gay people. He was talking about the unrestrained lust of heterosexuals who are not satisfied with their opposite sex relationships and wanted more. He wasn't talking about homosexuals. He was talking about married men and women who went beyond the marriage bed to find satisfaction. So Paul did not mean what he said in plain Greek. Therefore, we can safely ignore him. Editing out Scripture is offensive to us, but is it possible that we are guilty of the same thing? God's Word challenges us to think about that. Open your Bible with me to Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 1. Jeremiah was a great prophet. The people of his day didn't think so. They would not listen to him. Jeremiah was commanded by the Lord to live as a single person. He didn't marry or have children. And his life without family represented the state of Judah as they would go into exile, losing their families, their wives, their children. Jeremiah was a good friend of righteous King Josiah. Josiah died a premature death at the hands of the Egyptian Pharaoh in a battle. After Josiah's death, the country went seriously downhill, and collapsed. Jeremiah saw it all and preached God's word throughout. Verse 1, Jeremiah 36, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah, and all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah until today. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way, and that I may forgive their sin. The fourth year of King Jehoiakim was 605 BC. The Lord gave the great prophet Jeremiah an important message. It was good news. The Babylonians were threatening Judah with captivity and destruction, but God was willing to forgive his wayward people and avert the impending disaster. Jehoiakim did not see any good news in the message. To do that, he'd have to agree with some things that he didn't want to admit. First, Jehoiakim would have to admit that he and his people needed forgiveness. And that meant admitting their sins. Second, the king would have to admit he needed to change. He didn't want to. Third, Jehoiakim would have to acknowledge that his sins were producing evil consequences. When people are doing wrong, they don't want to admit that they're causing any trouble. To King Jehoiakim, the good news was bad news. He did not want to hear it. He did not want to read it. Turn to verse 22, Jeremiah 36, 22. Jeremiah dictated his book to a friend, Barak. And since Jeremiah was debarred from going to the temple, he asked Barak to take the scroll when the people had a fast and were gathered at the temple and read it. Barak did. One of the people who heard Barak read was named Micaiah, son of Gemariah. Micaiah was alarmed by the message he heard, and so he hurried to the chamber of the royal secretary. His name was Elishama. His father was sitting there along with other princes, and Micaiah related the message he'd heard, the warnings. So Barak was sent for, and he came and read the scroll to the princes. And the princes said, "Did Jeremiah really dictate that?" And Barak said, "Yes, he dictated it, and I recorded it with ink on the scroll." They said, "You and Jeremiah Hyde, we will share this with the king." So Barak and Jeremiah hid themselves. The princes went to the king, Jehoiakim, and they told him about the scroll. He said, "I want to hear it." So Jehudi went and fetched it and read it for the king. Jeremiah 36:22. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter house, and there was a fire burning in the fire pot before him. As Jehudi read three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a knife and throw them into the fire in the fire pot until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fire pot. Jehoiakim did not want Jeremiah's message to survive, so he cut the scroll in pieces and burned it. But the Lord simply ordered Jeremiah to rewrite the scroll. He did and added other words to it. Jehoiakim did not escape the consequences of his sins by destroying the scroll. The only thing he accomplished was to seal the fate of his nation and his kingdom. He died lost, and his country was lost and destroyed. The Word of God is the Word of God. It stands forever. It cannot be destroyed by knife and fire. We understand that. But it does not stop us from deleting unwelcome scriptures. Of course, we don't use a knife and a blazing hearth. We're more subtle than that. Turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke 6:46. This is part of the Sermon on the Plain, similar in many ways to the Sermon on the Mount, but not identical. Luke 6:46. Jesus asks, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." If we call Jesus Lord and don't do what he says, then we are editing out the things we don't want to hear. And there are consequences. The response to the coronavirus is a good example of what Jesus is talking about. The same weather strikes at the door of the faithful disciple and the fool. Viruses don't distinguish between God's people and the people of the world. The faithful disciples of Jesus are calm. They trust God. They see how the media is stirring up fear to gain viewers or injure political opponents. If worse comes to worst, they have a home in heaven. They're going to be fine. But people who don't listen to Jesus are falling apart. They're fighting over toilet paper. I haven't quite figured that out because diarrhea is not one of the symptoms of the coronavirus. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. When people don't listen to Jesus, their house collapses. Are we listening to Christ? What scroll have we put in the fire? What scroll have we put in the fire? Maybe it's the scripture that tells us to put God first. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. In the second chapter of Colossians, Paul says that you are buried with Christ by baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Paul tells his readers that they were dead in their trespasses, but they have been made alive together with Christ. In chapter 3, he talks about the response of the faithful Christian to his salvation. He says, if then, or since then, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Things on earth. Let's see. That would be sports, politics, money, popularity, recreation, vacations, new stuff, houses, cars, clothes, tech devices. Are our hearts and minds set on things above? If we kept a careful journal of our expenses and spent time, would it show that God really is first? What scroll have we put in the fire? Maybe it's the scripture that tells us to think on beautiful things. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. I love this chapter so much. It has so many lovely exhortations in it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Let your gentleness, your humility be known to all. Verse 5. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 6. Let the peace of Christ that passes all understanding guard your heart. Verse 7. And then verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Surely, God is not serious about this. I mean, how can we think about honorable things and watch people committing adultery on TV at the same time? How can we think about pure things and listen to late night comedians at the same time? How can we think about lovely things and listen to the raunchy lyrics of popular songs at the same time? Maybe the Lord just expects us to think about beautiful things on Sundays. What scroll have we put in the fire? Maybe it's a scripture that tells us to forgive. Read with me Matthew 6:14-15. Jesus has just finished giving the model prayer, the disciples' prayer. Our Father in heaven, sacred is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sin debts as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. After giving that prayer for us to think about, Jesus makes a comment on one of the lines of the prayer about forgiveness. He says in verse 14, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Jesus is probably not serious about this either. Refusing to forgive is so rewarding. Resentment lets me wallow in the dismal comfort of self-pity. Resentment lets me cherish the pleasure of holding the past over an offender's head. And resentment spares me the hard work that forgiveness entails. Unforgiveness is so much easier than forgiveness. That threat of the Father's condemnation for bitterness, it must be hypothetical. Let's just take a knife to that scripture. What scroll have we put in the fire? Think about this question deeply and personally. Of course, you would never take a knife to the Bible and burn it in the fire pot. But have you deleted certain scriptures from your working memory? Have you burned the scroll that tells you to put God first? Have you burned the scroll that tells you to think about beautiful things? Have you burned the scroll that tells you to practice forgiveness? Have you burned the scroll that tells you to control your eating, to control your speech, to control your temper, to control your sexual choices? Have you burned the scroll that tells you to love your wife, to respect your husband, to discipline your children, to honor your parents? Have you burned the scroll that tells you to pay your taxes, to honor government officials, to work hard even when the boss is not looking over your shoulder? If we treasure God's word, then we are the ones blessed by it. When King Jehoiakim threw Jeremiah's scroll into the fire pot, the flames that leapt up to burn the paper consumed him. He died lost. If we say, "Lord, Lord," and mean it, if we love the word of Christ and build our lives on it, then the scriptures will sweeten our days like honey and enrich our days like gold and silver. This evening, as we extend the invitation, we are encouraging you to honor the Bible because it is the Word of God. Honor it by obeying it. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." His commandments for the person alienated from God are to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, to repent of sin, and to be baptized in Christ's name. If we can help you to obey the gospel, please come now.
Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?